Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we have a packed show today. We're going to talk a lot more football. We talked a lot of football on the show yesterday. Today, more of it. We have a couple of guests lined up. First off, Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos will be on the show today. We'll talk about the offseason workouts for Carbon and an upcoming camp that will feature former BYU and San Francisco 49er running back Jamal Willis. So we'll talk about that next segment. And then we'll be joined by Dan Mears. You probably don't recognize the name, and that's okay, but I'm sure you will recognize the character he plays. He's been the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs for nearly three decades. Of course, the Chiefs mascot, Casey Wolf. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We've never had a mascot on the show, so I am looking forward to that. And that'll come up here in just a bit on this Wednesday edition of the show. So since it's so packed, we got to move a little bit quick through this intro. We will begin with the NBA. Not a lot happening, but the Houston Rockets, they are doing everything they can to clear up some cap space to make a move for Jimmy Butler. The Rockets are now trying to move on from Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker. If they can move on from these three salaries, get a first-round pick, future first-round pick, they could clear up enough space. They could potentially work in a sign-and-trade to acquire Jimmy Butler. We knew that Daryl Morey would be very aggressive. This is definitely a move that I think could have been anticipated. The Rockets have got to try to do something. Chris Paul's in the twilight of his career. James Harden right now is in his prime. Should not be a surprise. And another non-surprise, Kevin Durant has declined his $31.5 million player option for the upcoming season. He will become a free agent, and I think it's safe to say his time in Golden State is over. I think that's fair to say. Don't see KD re-upping in Golden State. And we'll end by moving over to Major League Baseball. A lot happening there today. Some final scores from earlier. The Chicago White Sox topped the Boston Red Sox 8-7. It was the Yankees over the Blue Jays 8-7. And then the Royals falling to the Cleveland Indians 5-3. Those finals from earlier today. A couple of games live right now, but coming up at 5:05 tonight, we get the Mets and the Phillies. The Rangers will travel to meet the Detroit Tigers. We get the Marlins hosting the Washington Nationals at 5:15. Oakland will travel to meet St. Louis. 6 o'clock tonight, Seattle at Milwaukee. The Cubs will play host to the Braves. We get the Reds on the road against the Angels. Pittsburgh will take on Houston, and Tampa Bay travels to meet Minnesota. Nightcap in baseball set for 6:10 p.m. That's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. Again, coming up, Coach Josh Huntsman and Dan Mears, the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the Price Elks Lodge will hold a fundraiser golf tournament on Sunday, August 4th at the Carbon Country Club to benefit Sub for Santa. The format will be a four-person scramble, and the cost is $160 per team, excluding green fees and a cart. Now, the event is scheduled for an 8:30 a.m. shotgun start, and lunch will be served following the tournament at the lodge. Prizes will be awarded and opportunity drawings will take place at the post-tournament lunch. Throughout the day, participants will also have a chance to try their luck and skill in the longest drive and longest putt contests. Event organizers are also seeking donations from businesses to help with items to be given away. It is also possible to sponsor a hole. For more information regarding donations, contact Exalted Ruler Judy Roybal at 637-1550. You can also find more information at castlecountryradio.com, and you can call the Carbon Country Club golf course to register. An upcoming event on July 20th, former BYU running back and former San Francisco 49er Jamal Willis will host a speed and agility camp. Willis will hold two camps throughout the day, one that is open to all athletes that focuses on speed and agility, and the other at noon that emphasizes football-specific training. Willis's camps are being hosted by the USU Eastern men's basketball team. After the speed and agility camp, Willis will host a running back academy. Now, this will deal directly with ball carriers, and it is for ages 7 to 18. The cost for both camps is $75 each. For more information or to register, just visit CastleCountryRadio.com. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman. He'll talk about the impact of the camps, and also he'll talk about the offseason workouts for the Dinos. We flip over to the baseball diamond, and the Helper American Legion squad will travel on the road this afternoon to Timpanogos for a doubleheader beginning at 5:15. Helper has played lights-out baseball as of late. They've raced out to a 9-1 record and a 6-0 perfect start in Legion League play. Following today's doubleheader, the team will then travel back home on Saturday to play host to Lone Peak in more doubleheader action beginning at 6 p.m. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by manager Dakota Cincinnatus, and he talked about the way the team has played up to this point.
These kids going into this year, there's not a lot of them that I had been around, but I mean, after that first week of practice, I kind of had an idea of where these kids could be. And 9-1 wouldn't have been a surprise for me. These kids work really hard, and, you know, they do what I ask them to do, what our coaches ask them to do. They put the effort in and the extra work. So, you know, 9-1, 10-0, that would have been reasonable for me. I mean, they're a great team, great bunch of young kids.
Again, the Helper American Legion baseball team will return to the field this afternoon as they take on Timpanogos in doubleheader action. The next home games will go down this Saturday against Lone Peak. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
It's a Wednesday edition of the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk a lot of football today, and we're going to start by talking high school football. It's been a busy summer for the Carbon Dinos. They had a couple of camps that they traveled to, the Ute Shoot, which was on June 1st, and then also to Blanding on June 8th. Joining us to talk about those two camps, what lies ahead, and also an upcoming clinic that I think is going to be a lot of fun and very beneficial for the Castle Country. We have head coach Josh Huntsman in the studio. Coach, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again.
So do I. I appreciate you having me in.
Yeah, definitely. It's always great to talk some Carbon High School football. I mentioned a couple of 7-on-7s that you guys attended. Let's start by talking about the June 1st Ute Shoot. A lot of talented teams go there. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a rough tournament. You know, we were one of four 3A schools there. There was only one 2A school there. And so we ended up playing some bigger schools. But, you know, it was definitely a good experience for our kids, but definitely a steep learning curve.
As far as 7-on-7s go, I know there's so much that it's limited in some extent. But from an athletic standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, where did you feel that this team was at?
You know, we did well. Our kids came out, they competed, they did everything that they could. But, you know, sometimes you get into those. We took, I think, 16 kids, and you have teams that will show up, and they'll pay the extra fee, and they'll bring 30, 40 kids, and they can just roll in kids like crazy, and we're playing kids both ways quite often in that tournament.
Yeah. As far as the linemen go, I know they also have side deals, right, for linemen at the Ute Shoot?
They do, yeah. They do an additional, they do what they call their lineman challenge, and they'll do a weightlifting thing, and they'll do a team challenge, stuff like that. We didn't get involved in that very much, so we, you know, but it's something that they do. Manti kind of does the same thing, to where they'll do a lifting competition between them, and they'll choose the team that was the best, and then the individual lineman that was the best as well.
Following the Ute shoot, you guys then move on to Blanding. Four teams at this one. Gives you an opportunity to take a look at San Juan, who we're going to get really familiar with, I know, in the upcoming season. Second place finish for you guys, but nonetheless, you were right there with San Juan.
Yeah, big, strong, physical team. You know, they've grown big down there on the farm. And it was fun for our kids. We got to see some definite growth. We played San Juan the first game. They probably beat us by four or five touchdowns. Then we come back and lose in the championship game by 4 points. And so, you know, it was fun watching our kids grow over those games and see them develop into a team that wants to compete.
Coach, as far as the seven kids that you have had to rely on these seven-on-sevens, what does the quarterback position look like for you? Because, I mean, obviously that's probably one of the more important aspects of a 7-on-7.
You know, we played Tyler Wright at the Ute shoot and had him throw the ball most of the time. We put Jalen in the slot and had him receive. And then once we got down to Blanding, Jalen took all the snaps. Tyler was at a baseball game with the American Legion team. And so we had Jalen take all the snaps there. And, you know, like I said, both quarterbacks have grown. And both quarterbacks are going to compete this fall to see who the guy is going to be.
Quarterback competition is never bad.
It never is, you know, and we enjoy it. And the nice thing about this one, it's two seniors competing with each other. And so both of them have that drive to want to do well their senior year. And so I think they're going to compete hard with each other. And I think that, you know, best quarterback will come out of it and the other guy will find another spot on the field because they're both so valuable to us. And so we'll see how it plays out.
If you line Jalen up in the slot, Coach, who are the two guys on the outside kind of alleviating some of that pressure?
You know, we've got Riker Larson, who's going to do a fantastic job for us. He'll alleviate some of that pressure. We're also going to line Riddick McGlory in the slot. And Riddick's a threat over the middle. He's a threat to run our jet sweep stuff, and so he'll be helpful. And then Brady Gagan will split some time out on the edge. And, you know, big, tall wide receiver that we can throw jump balls to. That's, you know, that back shoulder fade will be helpful with him. So you can't just key on one player. We're going to have quite a few weapons on offense this year.
I know Brady's new to the program, but a couple of the other names that you just mentioned, Riddick for one. I mean, you guys relied on him heavily last year. Same thing with Riker Larson, Jalen Dennis. These are familiar names. That's always great to hear as well. I mean, you have returners that were a key factor last year.
Yeah, it definitely is having key returners come back. You know, wherever we have Jalen, we're gonna get a lot of help, you know, from other players. And they won't be able to key on him the whole time. But, I mean, we're going to run a triple option attack, and we're going to use Jalen's legs, and we'll use Tyler's legs. We'll do those things to try to help, help better our offensive opportunities. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Brandon August, who's going to split time with Cooper Shade at fullback. And Cooper Shade's fantastic on the edge. Brandon August is a tough runner up the middle. And so I think, you know, we do lose Colin Lewis as a fullback and the yardage that he gained. But we have two players that will step into those shoes and they'll perform their roles, you know, admirably.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team as we talk about off-season workouts. Coach, Carbon Camp, it's right around the corner. I mean, July 11th through July 19th. Really, we're here at the end of June already. I know the moratorium is rapidly approaching. But Camp Carbon, I know it's an important time, right, for these kids, especially those who maybe haven't been around the program as much this summer. Those are some key dates.
Yeah, it definitely is. We shut our program down for a week. Coming up here on June 30th, and that will go through the 8th of July. We'll hand out our pads at that time, and then we'll jump right into camp on the 11th, kind of acclimate our kids to being in helmets and shoulder pads again for the first couple of days. And then I know through the college that we've got two teams coming in Summit Academy and North San Pete. Both teams were in the state championship game last year, so that will be a good test for us. We'll be able to get in and do some drills with them and some 7-on-7s and some full contact drills. And so it will, you know, will definitely be beneficial for our kids being able to play against the caliber of teams that those two are.
I also want to talk about a camp that is up and coming, Coach. This is on July 20th. It does involve Jamal Willis, former BYU running back, also spent some time with the San Francisco 49ers. This camp was originally scheduled to take place in June. It was pushed back to July 20th. Two different camps, one strictly for running backs, ball carriers, another speed and agility. You and I had conversations about Jamal. This is going to be very beneficial for youth here in this area.
I definitely believe it is. You know, and I believed in the camp when they brought it in. And I wanted our kids to be able to go to that camp, but we had already scheduled a 7-on-7 for June 8th. And so, you know, I contacted Jamal and said, hey, we've got kids that are going to be out of town, but we would love to be a part of your camp. And so I've been pushing his flyer to everyone that I can. We've sent it over to Altamont. We've sent it to Duchesne. We've sent it to Emory. We've sent it to Grand. We've sent it to San Juan. And so we're pushing for this to be a beneficial camp for the youth of not just Carbon County, but for Emory County, for Grand County, for San Juan County, for Duchesne County. We want all of these kids to be able to be involved and actually learn something from someone who's been there and done that.
You have some playing stories with Jamal as well, right?
Yeah, we played against each other. When he left BYU, he ended up playing for a team in the Rocky Mountain Football League, and we did play against each other. I was able to play against him in an all-star game and during the season, and so, you know, he's a fantastic football player. He's going to give a wealth of knowledge to our kids.
How good was he? Because, I mean, if you go back and you take a look, I remember him at BYU, I do, but when you go back and you look at the statistics, I mean, he was pretty dynamic, and BYU had a couple of really tough schedules during his time there. I know they got a win at Notre Dame. He was a running back there. They got a win over Oklahoma. And for someone that played against an athlete that wasn't necessarily a dominating standout athlete that was drawing attention of the NFL scouts but still very productive, speak to the level of how good he really was.
You know, we, in this All-Star game, we had guys from Montana, Idaho, Utah that were playing against him. And so these were the top of the top in a semi-pro league. And so I was only in the game. I actually broke my arm really bad in the game about the third quarter, actually making a tackle against him. And, you know, I think he rushed for 191 yards in that ball game. We ended up, you know, our all-star team ended up losing that ball game to him because of how dynamic he was as a runner. He ran through us, around us, over us. He did a fantastic job. And so, you know, he's the perfect candidate to come and teach running backs. He's the perfect guy to teach footwork and agility because the stuff that he has done over his career is very solid.
And I ask that question because I just think that sometimes casual sports fans don't really understand how dynamic and how good not an elite athlete but a college D1 athlete really is.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, I going from playing high school football to even junior college football, it's like three steps forward. And then going from a junior college to a Division III, Division II, Division I is like five steps. And then from Division I to the NFL is like 10 steps. Mm-hmm. And so you are looking at a guy who played at the most elite level and was productive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell people this all the time. It's completely different. It's completely different, you know, being playing against Division I type athletes than it is playing against high school athletes. There's not a lot of people in this country that can do it. And Jamal, he was one of those top-notch guys that just understands the game of football and plays it really, really well.
If you want to register for that camp, you can find all the information at castlecountryradio.com. It's right underneath the local sports link. And again, that is going to be on July 20th. Now, Coach, before I let you go, we've talked about Camp Carbon. Once we get past that July 20th clinic with Jamal Willis, summer waits for a few days, and then before you know it, first official day of practice, August 1st.
Yeah, first official day of practice. Actually, it's before August 1st. Yeah, it's July 30th.
It gets earlier every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, so they try to keep it around the 1st of August, and so it starts on that Monday,
okay,
the week of the 1st of August. And so we get into it, and then the blue and white game happens on the 9th. And, you know, then the week after that, it's game one against ALA. You know, we're ready. I mean, our kids have been preparing all summer. The weight room is open. Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 6:30 in the morning, and then we do a team activity on Wednesday nights. And you know, it's upon us, and it happens so fast. We're still trying to work a few things out to where we might be able to get a 7-on-7 in with Emory and do a few things like that to see if we can, continue to progress and continue to have both teams get, solidify what they want to do offensively and defensively. But, it's here.
Definitely the best time of the year. I don't think there's any question about that. Coach, it's always a pleasure to chat with you and talk a little bit about the Carbon football program. I'm excited for the season. Thank you again for making time today.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. In fact, when we return, we're going to be joined by a special guest in studio, Dan Mears. He has been the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs for nearly three decades. Also spent a year as the mascot for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's got a terrific story, and we've never had a mascot on the show. I'm looking forward to that. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm really excited about our next guest. We've had a lot of great guests on the show over the last decade, ranging everywhere from NBA to Major League Baseball to the NFL, but we've never talked to a mascot, and that is about to change right now, because joining us in the studio, we have Dan Mears. Now, Dan has been the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs for almost three decades. Dan, I really appreciate you taking out the time to join us in the studio today. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. So I say you've been a mascot for three decades. Well, three decades with the Kansas City Chiefs, correct?
Yes. So I got my start as a mascot back in college. I'd never been a mascot in my life until I went to college. And one day I was reading the school newspaper at the University of Missouri where I went to college, and I saw this little clip that they were going to have a tryouts to be Truman the Tiger. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of interesting. So I went and I tried out. Sure enough, I got the job. And for the next 4 years, I traveled all over the United States doing college football and basketball games. And plus, I just had a lot of fun while I was doing it. And then when I graduated, I actually went out. I got my first job working in professional baseball. I worked for the St. Louis Cardinals as a character called Fred Bird. And I did that for just a short time. And while I was in St. Louis, I got a call from the Kansas City Chiefs. They said they were going to start up this new mascot program called KC Wolf. And as I thought about it, in professional baseball, they play 81 home games in the summer. Professional football, they play 10 during the fall and the winter. And I tell people I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but even I knew that was a pretty good switch to make over to the NFL. And so I came to Kansas City, and I'm actually, like I said, I'm starting my 30th season with the Chiefs this year.
That's fantastic. I got to ask you, first things first, you mentioned getting the start in college. What did you learn in college as a mascot that propelled you to become a professional mascot? We talk to athletes all the time that make that jump. They evolve in college and then they become professionals. What about mascots?
Well, mascots, it's kind of funny because the longer you do anything, the better you get at it. And so I don't know that I was a great mascot in college, but they have mascot competitions. So if you ever watch ESPN, you'll notice they have like cheerleading competitions. Well, they do the same thing with college mascots. And when I competed, you would take a videotape, you'd take highlights of what you had done throughout the year, or you would put that onto like a 3-minute videotape, and you would mail that in, and then they would pick the top four in the nation and fly you to wherever the competition was held. It was typically held at like SeaWorld. And the first year I competed was in Orlando, Florida, and then the next 2 years I competed were in San Antonio, Texas. Well, the advantage I had was that I was a broadcast journalism major when I was in college, and so I could take my videotapes, and even if I wasn't a good mascot, I knew how to edit, and I knew how to make my tape look good, and so I would send those in, and like I said, I competed, and for 3 years in a row, I finished in the top four in 1988. I took second in the nation. I lost to the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, Buzz the Yellow Jacket out of Georgia Tech. And then in 1989, I took first in the nation that year. I beat Zippy the Kangaroo out of Akron University in Ohio. And then in 1990, I took second again. I lost to the Buffalo out of West Virginia, Marshall University in West Virginia. And so when I graduated, I kind of had my mascot resume. I also had this human resume. And I thought, you know what, being a mascot sounds a whole lot more exciting than getting a real job. And so that's what I've done for the past 20, you know, starting my 30th season. I've avoided a real job for a long time. I basically put on a furry costume and act like a nut for a living.
You and I were talking before we hopped on the air, and you had mentioned some of the fun appearances that you've had. I was blown away by this. You've been a best man at a wedding. You've walked the bride down the aisle. I mean, it's not just what you see on Sundays or Monday nights.
Oh, the best part of this job is the people you meet, the relationships, and just some of the fun stuff you get to do. I've walked 5 women down the aisle on their wedding day.
And you didn't know who they were.
I had no idea who they were, and I dressed in a costume to do it. And I've been best man in probably 7 or 8 weddings. I didn't know who the groom was, but I stood there dressed in a wolf outfit with a tuxedo over it and held the wedding ring in my hand waiting for the preacher to ask for it. And so, yeah, just crazy requests that you get as a mascot. But they're fun. I mean, you meet a lot of super people, and I get to travel to a lot of places, and not only around the United States but around the world. And so it's an interesting job. I don't live a boring life. I do know that.
Sure. Sure. Again, our guest right now is Dan Mears. He's the longtime mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, Casey Wolf. Let's talk about game days. What is that like? I mean, we've talked to many professional athletes, and I always ask, what's the game day ritual for you? What is that like?
Okay, so we'll say it's a noon game. So if it's a noon game at Arrowhead Stadium, I get to the stadium about 8 o'clock in the morning. First thing we do is we kind of go through. I sit down with my assistant who helps me on game day, and we kind of look through what the day looks like. So we do tailgate parties before the game. So there's certain tailgate parties that we have to hit. And then during the game, we have a seat delivery. So, you know, it might be a birthday seat delivery. It might be some guy celebrating, you know, an anniversary and he wants to surprise his wife. We help a lot of guys propose to their girlfriends at Arrowhead Stadium, where they will call in the week before and say, hey, I want to propose to my girlfriend. And so we find out their seat location. And we make up a sign that has the girl's name on one side. It will have the guy's name. It'll say, will you marry me? And they have the guy's name on the back of that sign. And so what I do is that we figure out where these seat visits are. And then some of them want you to deliver roses. Some of them don't order roses. And so if you order roses, of course, there's a little extra charge on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we help a lot of people get engaged at the games, where I'll go up to the seat holding the sign that has the girl's name. And of course, the girl thinks they've won some kind of a contest, or Casey Wolf's going to give her a T-shirt or something. And then when I get up to the seat, all I do is I flip the sign around. It says, will you marry me? The guy gets down on his knee and proposes, and then she cries, and then we all hug and take pictures, and it's the same routine after that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and so yeah, we kind of lay out what our game day is going to look like, and then of course we always go down and eat a big breakfast, and then come back and we head out and do tailgate parties and just spend a lot of time interacting with the fans on game day. So I usually get to the stadium about 8 a.m. and I get home somewhere around 5 to 5:30 in the evening. And so games are about 3 hours long, but you know, we've always got tailgate parties in Kansas City before the game. And then after the game, if you rush out, all you do is get stuck in traffic. And so it's easier just to sit around and eat and relax and wait for the traffic to clear out. So
you've been there for three decades, and you're so unique. I mean, because even if we're talking about, you know, a couple of years that Joe Montana was a quarterback in Kansas City, if we're talking about Patrick Mahomes today, you're unique in a sense where you will control the crowd at some point in time in that game. You get to experience something that only a few players have been able to experience. What's it like when you have one of the most raucous crowds in the NFL? I mean, that's what Arrowhead is known for, right?
I love Chiefs fans. I mean, I tell people I've got the greatest job in the world. Not just that I love doing what I do, but Chiefs fans are just crazy. As you know, we hold the record for the world's largest or the loudest outdoor stadium. And so they like to show up and have fun. And, you know, as a mascot, my job is just to entertain the crowd and get them excited. Well, Chiefs fans are excited long before they ever step into the stadium. And so it just makes my job as a mascot easy. And so I just go up. I spend a lot of time interacting with fans and getting pictures taken. And I love Chiefs fans. They're just a blast to work with.
Can you remember a certain instance where that stadium was louder than you've ever heard it before?
Well, the year we set the record for the Guinness Book of World Records, which I can't even remember how many years ago that's been now, but it's been a few. But yeah, there's a whole lot of screaming going on at that point. And that was a day I was glad I was in a wolf outfit that had a little bit of, you know, it's kind of like wearing a set of headphones over your ears when you got a mascot costume on. But I was glad I had a little bit of ear protection that night.
I did ask you if you were a football fan before we hopped on air, and you said, of course, the organization has been so great to me for the last 30 years. Have you had a favorite player over the last 30 years?
You know, I've got a lot of guys that I just, you know, everybody expects me to say, you know, Patrick Mahomes. He's a great guy. But some of the guys I've got to know well. I'll tell you the guy on the team right now that's probably my favorite, and it's just because I know him the best, and I've done all kinds of appearances with him, and he's been around forever, and that's our punter, Dustin Colquitt. If you ever get to meet Dustin, he's just a great guy, just really down to earth and just a super nice guy that does a lot in the community and just gives back a lot, and that's what I respect about him. But yeah, there's been guys like Tony Richardson, who used to be one of our fullbacks, was just a super nice guy. If you want to go way back, a guy named Dave Zott, who was one of our offensive linemen back in the 90s under Marty Schottenheimer. He was a great guy. And then Rich Gannon, I don't know if you remember that name.
Sure,
quarterback,
MVP, right?
great guy. And so, yeah, just over the years, you meet a lot of guys that I had a great deal of respect for, not only as football players, but more importantly as men, just by the way they live their lives. And, you know, I like to see guys that are giving back in the community. You know, they've got a platform as a player. You know, I've been given a platform as a mascot, and you know, I want to use that platform to hopefully be a blessing in my community and around the people I meet. And so, you know, we get opportunities to do a lot of charity work, and not only in the Kansas City area but around the Midwest. And that's the rewarding part of the job right there, is just being able to go out and hopefully give back and be a blessing to others.
Dan, I know we have some things I want to talk about, including a book that you wrote about 5-6 years ago. Before I do that, I got to ask you a couple of silly questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever agitated an opposing player, an official, or even a player on your own team during a game? Has that ever happened to you as a mascot?
I am sure I've irritated somebody at some point. You know, it's funny, when you're a mascot, I've got 85-inch hips in my costume, okay? And I'm about 7 foot tall, so I take up a lot of space. I'm sure I've irritated Chiefs fans because I happen to stand in their way during a play. So, yeah, as a mascot, my goal is not to go out and irritate people, but have I irritated someone? I'm sure I have at some point. And so the good thing about being a mascot is half the time I don't even know if I'm irritating them or not.
Sure.
But I think for the most part, people like me, at least they seem to. Yeah, it's fun to interact with other, you know, players from other teams. And I'll tell you, a guy that I've known for a long time is the Raiders coach, John Gruden. Now he's a character. He always calls me the big rat when he sees me. But yeah, I've had interaction with him over the years, and every now and then I'll see him at the Pro Bowl and different events like that. But I don't go out to irritate people, but I'm sure I've irritated somebody at some point.
So no open confrontation.
No, nothing open confrontation.
That's great.
Exactly.
Mascots, all eyes are on you at times. There's a lot of times when, you know, I go to a lot of NFL football games, you don't really pay attention to the mascot at times, right? I mean, and there are certain aspects of the game when there's a break, timeout, into quarters, maybe you'll see the mascot running around. But when all eyes are on you, have you had any follies in your 30 years? I'm sure you have.
Well, the thing as a mascot is you got to remember that there's times, even though you don't think anybody's watching, chances are somebody's watching
you.
Right. So that's the thing you always try to keep in the back of your mind. Even if everybody else is watching the football game, I guarantee you there's at least 25 kids that are sitting up in the stands that have no interest in football, and all they're doing is looking for the guy running around in a costume. And so you try to keep that in mind, that even when you don't think people are watching, there's a good chance that there's other people that are out there watching what you're doing. And so when you're on, as soon as you're out there on the field, you realize, okay, I'm on stage, so I've got to be performing. And it might just be little things and along the sidelines. And then there's other times where you're actually out on the field doing a skit, or, you know, you might be up on the Jumbotron, you know, shooting the toilet paper gun. We've got a toilet paper gun, which is basically a leaf blower that has a paint roller taped on the end of it. And then you just load a roll of toilet paper onto the paint roller, pull the trigger on the leaf blower, and it just shoots out in a stream, and you can go through a roll of toilet paper in about 10 or 15 seconds. But yeah, so we have fun. Every now and then you'll see the wolf put a pie in somebody's face that's dressed up like the opposing team. That's usually just a friend of mine that wants a free ticket to the football game.
But fair trade.
There is a trade. You know, if you fair want a free trade. Ticket, you're going to have to take a pie to the face in order to earn that ticket. And so...
Last goofy question before I let you go. I would ask you what's got to be the most heartbreaking loss you've endured, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was the AFC Championship.
That was recently.
Yeah, that was probably just this last season. What was the most exciting moment for you as a fan in the mascot costume? Victory or a specific moment? Does one stand out to you?
I'll tell you, it was probably the same game we were just talking about.
Really? Okay.
The Patriots game. When we intercepted that pass, I thought for sure we were headed to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. to the point that I was giving my assistant a hug. And as we're hugging, he's like, "Hey, there's a yellow flag on the field." And I'm like, "Oh, no." And sure enough, as Chiefs fans know, that was against us, and ended up losing that game. But yeah, so that was an exciting moment. But, you've heard of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I experienced both of those within about a 10-second period there during that Patriots game.
You would have been going to the Super Bowl too, right?
Oh, yeah. See? I was headed. So we were headed there. But yeah, so it was, we'd been told that we were going to get, two tickets to the Super Bowl, and we were going to hop on an airplane that was chartered, and so each Chiefs employee was going to have, a hotel room for 4 days, and two tickets to the Super Bowl, and two for the pregame party, and two for the postgame party, and all this stuff. So, I mean, it was going to be the greatest week. And I don't know if it was a blessing or not, but I've got three children. Well, I had two tickets to the Super Bowl, okay? My wife was definitely going to take one of those tickets, and I was going in a working capacity since I was going to be a mascot, so that meant I still had one extra ticket. Well, I had one ticket. I've got three kids, so how do you decide which of your kids goes to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So, real hard to pick your favorite kid out of that deal. So, and maybe it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't have to decide which kid I was going to take to the Super Bowl this past year.
Dan Mears, again, longtime mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs. Dan, I look at the clock. We've been talking for 17 minutes. I got to take a quick commercial break. But if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to come back and talk about the book that you wrote back in 2013 and the fall that kind of inspired the book. You got time for one more segment?
I can do that.
All right. We have more with Dan Mears, mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, coming up right here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. And I love the guest right now, Dan Mears, longtime mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us in studio. Dan, during the last segment, we talked a little bit about life as a mascot, some of the instances. But now I want to go to a little bit more of a serious note. In 2013, you suffered a pretty gruesome injury, and it did inspire the book Wolves Can't Fly. So first, tell me the story, how the accident occurred, and what that whole what you remember from that whole situation.
Okay, well, early in 2013, we had done a skit at Arrowhead where I ziplined into the stadium, which was really cool. We hired a company that came in. They set up a zip line that stretched from one, you know, from the lights at the top of our stadium on one side, stretched all the way across the field to the lights on the other side of the stadium. And then they, you know, there was a zip line, and they had this little 3-foot strap. I went up and to the lights at the top of the stadium, jumped out, and we zipped across, and crowd just loved it. They just thought it was the coolest thing, and I honestly thought it was cool too. It was a lot of fun ziplining into Arrowhead, and so went over so well, we decided we'd go ahead and try that again later in the season. And so we were going to do it November the 24th of 2013. So November 23rd, I was practicing for this stunt, but we didn't want to do the exact same thing that we had done earlier in the year. So instead of just a zip line, we decided I was going to bungee jump and then zip line. So they attached the bungee cord to this zip line. And what happened, I was supposed to fall about 20 feet. The bungee cord was supposed to catch me, bounce me back up, and then I was going to zip out across the field. Well, unfortunately, that day, things didn't go as planned, because when I jumped out of the lights, they still had too much slack in the zip line. And instead of falling 20 feet that day, I fell approximately 75 feet, and I hit the seats in the upper level at Arrowhead Stadium. Hit those seats so hard that I knocked two of the seats out of the concrete. But not only did I do damage to the seats, they did a pretty good job on me that day too, because I broke 7 ribs, collapsed my lung, shattered my tailbone, cracked my sacrum, got a big gash on the back of my left leg that required stitches. And then my worst injury, I broke the T12 vertebrae in my back. And the next day I had surgery, and I've got these new titanium rods that now stabilize that part of my spine. And I spent 9 days in a hospital and 6 months off work then, doing a lot of therapy and rehab just to get back to where I wanted to be. And during that 6-month period, I laugh. I tell people one thing I learned in a hurry is that there's nothing good on daytime television. I was going crazy, because I'd go to my physical therapist appointments and then I'd come home and I was just bored stiff. And so I decided I'd write a book called Wolves Can't Fly, since I proved that wolves can't fly. And it's all about my career as a tiger and a bird and a wolf, and places I've been around the world and people I've got to meet. Just crazy stories, mascot stories from my through my 29 years of doing this now. But I tell people the best thing about writing a book is people think you're smarter than you really are. And so it's allowed me to go out, and I do a lot of speaking now. I speak at a lot of conferences around the country, and that's what I'm doing here in Price, Utah, is I'm speaking at Castleview Hospital, and it's been so much fun, and there's just so many great people there, their staff, and just I've had a great time while I've been here. But whenever I go speak, I sell the book, and all the money we make from book sales, I give to charity, and I do a lot of work with orphanages around the world. And so we help support orphanages in Haiti and the Philippines and India and Africa. And so, I look back on it now. It's not the story I would have picked for myself, But it's the one the good Lord gave me, at the time I didn't like going through it, but now I can look back on it and realize that maybe there is some good that came out of this, and it's been rewarding. It's the best part of my job is getting I tell people. I once read this, that if you ask a man his occupation, you find out how he pays his bills. But if you ask a man his preoccupation, then you're going to discover the passion of his life. Now, my occupation's mascot. I pay my bills running around in a costume for the Chiefs. But my preoccupation, I tell people what I am truly passionate about in life are simply three things. That's my faith, my family, and using my life to make a positive impact in this world that I live in. And so I get the opportunity to do a lot of speaking around the country and do a lot of speaking on leadership. And I'll tell you my favorite quote on leadership. It's from a gentleman you've probably heard of. His name's John Maxwell. But John Maxwell once said that leadership's not about titles, positions, or flow charts. Leadership's about one life influencing another. And that's what I'm passionate about, is encouraging others to go out and live a life of influence. We've all got a opportunity in our world to make a positive impact in the lives of others. And I don't care if you're the CEO of a company or you're the custodian. I don't care if you're the head coach of your team or you're just a team mascot. Every one of us each day has an opportunity to go out and to make a positive impact in this world that we live in. And that might be something that is simple as smiling at someone and wishing them a good day, or getting involved with local charities or things in the community. But we've all got a opportunity to do that. And I just happen to have a crazy platform as an NFL mascot. And that's what I hope to do. Take the time that I have as a mascot and use that to hopefully make an impact in my world. I hope to someday be remembered not just for what I did, but more importantly for who I was. And I tell people all the time, the only thing people ever remember about me was that I love the Lord and I love people. I'm good with that right there. That's kind of how I hope to be remembered someday. So,
Dan Mears, again, mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been with the Chiefs for about three decades now. You can find the book online. Again, Wolves Can't Fly. And Dan, there's a couple of different locations where you can go. CharacterThatCounts.org or DanMears.org. You can go to either of those locations to grab the book. And all the sales goes right to charity.
They do. We give all that money away. And I'm actually in the process of writing a second book, as a matter of fact. I don't like writing. I'll be honest with you. I like writing books like I like painting my house. The only thing I like is when it's done.
Sure.
But one thing I learned is I do like giving money to people that are less fortunate and helping out good causes like that. And so I thought, I've still got a lot of stories to tell, and I've got a whole lot of pictures. Since I recovered, like I said, I do a lot of traveling to different orphanages around the world. And so this year I've been to India, I've been to Africa. I just get great pictures. I got Casey Wolf sitting on a camel, got Casey Wolf sitting on an elephant in India, got pictures from a leper colony in India and orphanages, just pictures with kids in orphanages. So it's been fun. And I try to, whenever I write a book, I try to put a lot of cool pictures in the book. And so, that's my goal. I don't know if this next one will hopefully get done sometime next year. I just blessed to be able to do what I do. I love what I do and wake up each morning. You never know when you're a mascot, every day is different. You never have the same day twice. And that's what I love about it.
Ever thought of the end game? When does the career come to an end for a mascot?
But I tell you what, if they quit making ibuprofen, it comes to an end tomorrow. I love what I do. I'm 52 years old. I'm hoping to get at least three more years out of my body. But you never know. If I'm still kicking pretty well, I might keep going because, I love what I do. Hopefully at some point I'll go from being the full-time guy to being a part-time old guy that fills in, and because I still love doing it, I just can't quite keep up that pace when I'm in my 60s, I have a feeling. So mascotting can be very physically demanding at times. So you gotta keep yourself in shape. And I think I've done a decent job of that. But it's been a lot of fun, I will say.
You might want to ride this Patrick Mahomes era out because you may be going to a Super Bowl relatively.
That's kind of what I'm hoping.
The clock is ticking in New England. And look, it should be Patty Mahomes next, right? He should be the next guy.
That's what I'm hoping. So,
Dan, it was a pleasure to spend the time with you. Thank you so much for coming on down to the radio station to talk about your career, to talk a little bit about what it's like being a mascot. It's such a different perspective, but it's such a huge part of the game. It really is.
Well, like I said, I love what I do. I've loved my time here in Utah. I've just been here the last 2 days, and just great people, and I've eaten a lot of good food, and, you know, beautiful scenery. I knew it would be pretty, but I had no clue it was going to be that pretty. And once I made my way through the Salt Lake City rush hour traffic, I started to enjoy it a whole lot more even. Yeah. So
I get that. So for those listening, next football season, when you see the Casey Wolf doing his little antics around the field goal post when a kick is on its way, you know that's Dan Mears, correct?
That is right. So.
Dan, again, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Again, that's Dan Mears. He's the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs. Make sure you pick up the book, Wolves Can't Fly. And again, you can get that at characterthatcounts.org or danmears.org. And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. And do not forget, you can listen to the show on demand at castlecountryradio.com. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link in the right-hand corner. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.